gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Ring the Bell. We are back for our second show in 2 weeks. Ish.
Yeah, roughly that.
Which is a short-term record for us, I'd say, because of the last year. So we originally planned, before we get intros out of the way, to do maybe either a WrestleMania preview show and then an initial day after Mania show. Yeah. However, we felt there was far too much to talk about in a preview for WrestleMania with all the talks and the rumours and all sorts. And then in the initial aftermath of Mania, there was far too much happening with all the Endeavor talk that we'll get onto and everything else, that it was best to let the dust settle to an extent and wait to get that initial Mania push and rush out the way.
Yeah.
So we could come back and discuss not only Night 1 and 2 of Mania, but also the following Raw and SmackDown, plus whatever else went down in that week. So... Yeah. It's taking a bit longer, but we are here. And who are the we? You, of course, know, but let's do it anyway. I'm your host, Andrew, and with me once again, it's Mr. Bosbelt.
Pleasure to be here, mate. Been looking forward to this. WrestleMania was epic. And so was Stand and Deliver, actually. That was also really, really good. It was a great wrestling weekend.
So Stand and Deliver saw a new NXT World Champion crowned.
Yeah.
Bron Breakker dropped his belt.
Yeah, I watched most of this pay-per-view whilst I was cooking dinner. I started from the third match on and watched all the rest of it. It was a really good pay-per-view. The Gargano-Grayson Waller match was incredible. Gargano is just, he is Mr. Wrestling. He is so good. And Grayson Waller hung with him. He obviously lost in the end because Johnny G's not going to lose on an NXT pay-per-view. The fatal five-way match for the North American Championship. Wes Lee is an absolute star in the making. He is so good. But the rest of them in there as well, Dragon Lee, AXM, Ilya Dragunov, who we all know about, and JD Madonna, they're just five guys who just beat the living shit out of each other, but with some incredible high-flyer moves as well. Brilliant. And then, yeah, the main event, Bron finally dropped his belt, which I thought would mean he's come up to the main event, but after what happened on NXT after WrestleMania, he's turned heel now, and he is going back after his main event shot and his title belt.
So why do you think that this NXT, and not to this one, but all the probably the last couple of years worth, really, have kind of flown under the radar now? What's happened? Obviously, I know NXT's gone through some rebranding and some changes and some changes in direction, but NXT pay-per-view, NXT live events don't feel the same as they did.
No, they're not this massive thing. I think because there's... The names on it aren't the names from the indies. Like, there's no Gunther, there's no Drew McIntyre, there's no Finn Balor or Samoa Joe or so many other names. Carmelo Hayes and Bron Breakker, they've been brought up through the academy, basically. They're now the headliners. The fact that they had to... I mean, Johnny Gargano was the only guy on there with any sort of main roster experience, really. Tyler Bate was in the pre-show, which he deserves far more than that, to be honest. It really does. But it is all about homegrown talent there now. There's no sort of indie superstar taking the main event spot, which I think is why it's not so outside of wrestling fans or WWE fans. It's not so sort of a big deal. Like when it was Joe versus Balor for those title matches, they were incredible. Or Shinsuke versus Sammy and Kevin Owens making his appearance. People knew who they were before NXT.
So, ironically, when it was NXT with the indie names that people were used to, it was huge. Now it's NXT with the homegrown stars,
doing what
which
it should
is the
be
point
doing.
Of NXT to start with, but the names that people haven't heard of, unless it's from, obviously, NXT UK.
Yeah.
It seems to have kind of gone by the wayside in terms of mainstream now then.
Yeah, which is a shame, because I've watched a bit of the weekly stuff as well. Shawn Michaels is kind of an on-screen, he's the commissioner, he's the head of NXT, and he's done a really good job. He gets involved storylines, but not too much that he's Shawn Michaels. Like, he's just the authority figure and lets the guys get on with it. And yeah, it's exactly what he should be doing right now. It's creating a lot of good talent that are going to come up to the main roster at some point and make people like take notice of them.
So before we get on to the WrestleMania talk and everything else, you mentioned there very briefly Bron Breakker turned heel.
Yeah.
And they're now, I mean, was Kurt, unfortunately, I don't really watch NXT. Is Carmelo Hayes a babyface or a heel currently?
He's one of those cool heels, but now obviously with the turn of Breakker, he is now a fan favorite. They were both fan favorites in that match. They were both babyfaces. The crowd were chanting for both of them, but he's sort of like a turn cocky, of arrogant Breaker guy.
Has kind of now, by default, if nothing else, made Carmelo now the babyface. Yeah, because
it's a double Ron's turn, a big bad effectively. Heel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so they may have, for whatever reason, I'm sure it'll come out at some point, if there was plans to bring Ron up, that's
not
been held
just
off
yet.
There was obviously talk of the Rick Steiner controversy at WrestleCon over Mania weekend. Do you think that had anything to do with it? Obviously how things are PR-wise with that company. And
yeah, it's unfortunately timed. It really is. But then when you look back at Raw and SmackDown, there's not really a place for him to have come up, because you think he'd come up and he would interfere in like a US title or the IC title. The IC title is far above his pay grade at the minute, because the guys that competed for that are main eventers. The US title, theory, does need sort of a new thing, which we'll get to with Raw. But again, he feels like a main event guy in the waiting as well. So, yeah, I can see why they've kept him down there and made him a heel, because he's been a face for 2 years as champion. So,
has it been that long? He's been there already?
Pretty much. That's flown by. It's been there a long time now.
Wow, okay. Right, so that's NXT, briefly. Let's move on to Mania. So we'll start with Night 1, which took place on the Saturday. Yes. Straight away, immediately, my first thing was because I didn't watch this live, I watched it the following day. Because I'm at the point now where I'm too old to do two nights of live.
I did half of it live and half
of it
next morning.
I sacrificed Night 1 to do Night 2, because I thought Night 2 would be the bigger show that I was doing with people, and it was a social thing. Night 1, at first as I was watching it, I thought this would have felt like a really good starter or an amuse bouche, you know, kind of thing to set up Night 2 as a main course. But by the end of the night, and then after watching Night 2, I actually felt Night 1 was the better show.
If it was a
one show WrestleMania and it wasn't two nights, that's one of the best WrestleManias of all time.
Absolutely. If you'd made that a 10 match show, you'd stuck the Triple Threat IC title match and the world title match on that card. That as a 10 match pay per view WrestleMania, been perfect. I think you probably could have got rid of the women's 6-man tag. It didn't really mean much. It was fine, but it didn't really mean a great deal in the grand scheme of things. But yeah, it would have been an absolutely perfect show from top to bottom.
So we started off, as was already previously announced, with Austin Theory defending the US Championship against John Cena.
Yeah.
Cena had the big fan-friendly Make-A-Wish entrance, all lovely stuff. Brilliant. Watching this, and I watched it with no spoilers, it was just me watching it. It felt like it was a Hollywood star doing a cameo.
Yes.
He didn't look like John Cena the wrestler. He looked like John Cena, the movie star who's popping in. I don't know if it's the hairstyle,
it's
is
the
that of a movie star? The physique, is that of a movie star? It didn't feel like John. It felt like he was coming in doing the bare minimum so he doesn't get injured. And he's kind of like, not to the same level, but like a Johnny Knoxville last year or last year Logan Paul.
I get what you mean, yeah.
You know, it didn't feel like it was John. And the match, I felt then subsequently, didn't feel like this big pass on the torch that it should have done, because it ended in a very unlike way for a passing of the torch.
A low blow, and that was it. Eight-town down, over, 1-2-3.
It was like Cena hit his moves. Theory really was never going to beat him clean.
No.
It was a gulf in ability. It was like the fans knew Cena wasn't going to win, because he's not going to win a belt at this point. So they're waiting for an interference spot or a cheap heat thing like the low blow. And it was just it was a match. And that's it.
Yeah.
I don't feel like Theory gained anything out of this.
No, it was a fine opener. It got the job done. He got his win over Cena. He can say that he's beaten John Cena, and he can always have that. But yeah, as happy as I was to see John Cena, and recently I've always been happy to see him, because he just looks like he's having fun when he comes back. And he's earned that. He really has. He's earned the right to come back and do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't need to see him wrestle anymore. I don't need to see the STF in 2023.
Do you think he'll still keep up his wrestling at least once a year that he's done so far since 2002, 2003?
I think he will do. I mean, he can do one match. It's fine.
Well, you think last year he did it on the very last night of the year on the SmackDown, didn't he?
Yeah.
So
he might get out of the way early. We've done this year already, and he's done Mania.
Well, yeah, he's done that. That's it. Yeah. So he's got to do his Mania next year, and he's covered. That's it.
Yeah.
It's fine. Right.
Yeah,
up
it
next,
was fine.
It felt like one of those classic, let's get as many people onto the card as possible. A WrestleMania showcase match that really could have taken place on the WrestleMania SmackDown the night before.
It could have done.
Street Profits taking on Braun Strowman and Ricochet, Alpha Academy, and the Viking Raiders.
I fucking love this. Chad Gable is a superstar. When he picked Braun Strowman up and did that rolling German suplex, I jumped out of my chair. I'm 39 years old. Wrestling shouldn't get me this excited anymore. But to see a man do that, I was out of my seat. It was incredible. He has got, I mean, he's never going to be a world champion because of his size and his sort of his wrestling background. But Jesus Christ, he is a superstar. And Dawkins and Ford are just so over. They're so over.
When do we start saying how Montez Ford has missed that chance of singles glory? When does it get to the point where we think they've missed the boat with him?
He should be feuding with Theory right now.
Yeah.
Get the US title onto Montez Ford now and start his rise up the card. Because he's got it all. He can do everything on the mic and he can do everything in the ring. And he's got the look. Like, what more do you want?
So the Profits won. There was nothing specified as to what the winners got, to say they'd be in the conversation for a title shot at some point.
Nothing really, did they?
Hurt to make it a bit more high stakes by calling that the winners would become the number one contenders to the tag titles?
The fact that we knew the tag titles were in the main event, put some jeopardy on the line. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really fantastic match for a nothing throwaway match, basically. Mm.
Right, up next, the first instance of there's a lot of big names on the card. Someone's got to go very early on. And this year, on this show, Seth Rollins has to go third from the front. Your boy versus Logan Paul. It started out quite slow. And then it's like they realised, fuck it, let's just have some fun with this now. We've got the gimmicks if we need them. We've got the prime bottle ringside, which I knew would have someone of name in it.
Yeah, it be I was KSI, thinking it was Jake Paul.
Jake Paul. But about 10 minutes in, it's like they thought, okay, we've got this now. Let's go have some fun. I fucking love this.
Yeah. Seth dressed as Jeff Jarrett to start it all off. I mean, brilliant.
He should have kept that gear on. When he took it off, I was like, oh no.
Seth looked incredible. The fact that he had a conductor conducting the crowd in his song. I've got absolutely no idea what his character is at the minute.
No.
Don't know what he is. He's just a bit of a loose cannon. But he's just amazing. And Logan Paul, he signed a new contract today. That's been announced today. He's got a new long-term contract with WWE. And
good.
He bloody deserves it. He is so good. He has no right to be as good as he is. That leap to the top rope from a standing position into a moonsault. There's 20-year veterans that can't do that.
We said this on the last show, but it's annoying how good he is. And every time he has a match, you become more annoyed because he seems better than he was the last time he wrestled.
Yeah.
That's at the point where we have to, obviously, not probably been another 4 or 5 months, we have to start thinking about the Ring the Bell Awards and come the end of the year. Rookie of the Year. Would you still class Logan as a rookie at this point? Because he is over a year into his career.
He is, technically. He's only had 3 or 4 matches. So, yeah.
If you look at terms of matches he's had, is he still a Rookie of the Year? Or are we looking at Wrestler of the Year at this point?
Well, because he just puts on great matches, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Or great moments.
Sheamus says banger after banger after banger, but Logan Paul's record already. You look in the Miz tag match, the singles match with Miz, the match with Roman in Saudi Arabia, and now Seth on the biggest stage of them all.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, the fact that you could put him with someone like Seth and it doesn't seem like it's a downgrade for a man who should be in the title picture to face someone like Logan Paul and it not be just, he's a celebrity. He's not. He's a wrestler now and he's got his other stuff that he does as well, but he is a wrestler for me. He's not a YouTube. I've never watched him on YouTube, so I don't know. But like, some of the stuff was just so perfectly timed. The frog splash onto KSI. He's not looking. He's throwing his prime drink up into the air a second before he leaps off that top rope. So the fact that Seth then pulls KSI down and these frog splashes him through a table was so perfectly done.
That spot had no right to be as good as it was because it looked like it could have been like, but he must have surely seen a big blue prime bottle there. But the way he times that, he's looking out to the crowd with the bottle and he doesn't actually look down.
Yeah.
They made it work.
It was such a perfect match. It was really good. I know Meltzer's, I think he gave it 3 stars, which that's Meltzer being Meltzer because it doesn't deserve 5. It wasn't the perfect match. For me, it was a perfect match because Seth was fantastic and he won at WrestleMania. But I just loved it. I thought it was so good. They just did everything. The super kick the coast to coast, the super kick into the stomp to win the match. Just so perfect. They were so good.
You said about we don't are on the same. I don't know what Seth Rollins' character is. I know he's a babyface by default because people love chanting the entrance theme.
You sing his song.
We did it in Cardiff. Like, we were fully on board with it. And Seth got made the babyface because Logan Paul's such a good heel.
Yeah.
What does... Seth doesn't need a belt, but he should have a belt. That's the point he feels at now.
He's still the man to take that belt off Roman for me. And he keeps dropping little seeds to it. Because I think Roman or Paul Heyman or someone like the official account, WWE account, tweeted all the people that he had beaten in title defenses. And Seth just tweeted something like, not me. Or like, I'm the missing one from that list. Like, he hasn't beaten him. That story that is there, and you can play that over another year. So, yeah, I don't know what his character is, but I love it. It works. He's just a full-on loose cannon. He's Dean Ambrose, but doing Dean Ambrose better than Dean Ambrose did it.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Yeah. Right, up next, we had the dream match from 10 years ago, but the match that now just felt like a waste of some of the people in it.
Yeah.
Damage Control took on Becky Lynch, Lita, the tag team champions, of course, and Trish Stratus.
Dressed like Stifler's mum.
It was the greatest hits of Trish. Lita looked tired.
Yeah.
Very tired.
Yeah, slow, cumbersome. Damage Control should have won this.
Really selling her stocks in push-up bras by the looks of it as well. I was begging for the Trish heel turn throughout this whole match, thinking, do they give the happy ending of Becky winning the match and therefore Trish gets jealous and turns on her? Does Trish cost them the match? But then that means the heels win at WrestleMania. And in my head, thinking of all these ways could happen, it turns out they just won and that was it.
Yeah, like, nothing happened, really, did
it? Fair enough. I'm sure Becky loved teaming with Trish and Lita. She's spoken about obviously watching them when she was younger, which probably makes them feel really old. And obviously Bayley got to be in there with them as well. And
it's just a waste. But Io Sky, her and Asuka should be tearing it up as the best two women wrestlers in the company right now. Mm-hmm. But I like Damage Control. I like all three women in it. Bayley's always been my favorite female wrestler. She's so good. She deserves better than kind of just losing all the time. Like, she lost consistently to Bianca Belair, and probably don't put a belt on her. I don't know, but it felt like they should have won. They're a team rather than Becky and her friends or Becky and the veterans. It just felt like the wrong outcome for me. But
should this have been a 2-on-2 and a women's tag team championship match? Because they are the tag team champs. Like, yes. Did it need that? Did it need Trish to come out for this? Couldn't have done the tag match?
Yeah.
And there might be backlash. They could have done the six person because Trish can come out not after Mania or something.
Yeah.
You know?
You could have had Bayley and Trish on the outside for their teams. But you didn't need, it didn't need to be a three person. It was fine. I failed to get excited about Lita and Trish in 2023 when there's better women.
I still firmly believe that Becky versus Trish is SummerSlam. I think that's that big summer program. So I think at some point Trish is still turning heel.
Because Becky's that over, that it doesn't matter what she does. She's not going to lose any momentum ever.
I feel that Trish could still work to a level now and Lita can't. Because the thing is, Lita could never work.
No, really. She was always dangerous.
She could never work.
Yeah.
Whereas Trish, for that spell when she hit her peak, Trish was the best female wrestler in America. Like, I know there was a lot of competition, but she was the best women's wrestler. I think Trish could still work to the level that we now come to expect from women's wrestling in 2024.
Yeah, Becky could get her to a good match as well. Like, she'd be in there with an expert. Like, they would put on a decent match, definitely.
Yeah. So, I still think that's coming, and with that seed will go at some point. That'll grow. But it was a greatest hits.
Yeah.
And Trish and Lee got to have one more WrestleMania match. And
it's fine.
But up next, the first big high stakes, emotional match of the shows. The match that their big angle on SmackDown, where Ray finally snapped and accepted the challenge, got millions of views on YouTube. Like, huge for a dad smacking his son after his son had verbally abused his mum.
Yeah.
Only in wrestling, folks. Only in wrestling. This was not a payoff, because there's more to come, but this was the first big payoff to it. Rey Mysterio, and I'll let him have the Eddie Guerrero plug from the
Internet. It worked in this. Yeah.
That was fine,
mm-hmm.
you know. And Dominic Mysterio, who might have just eclipsed Rusev for best WrestleMania entrance now.
I
because it was
fucking
incredible.
Love Dominic. He's so good. He has improved so much as a wrestler, first and foremost. He is really good in the ring now. The fact that he's been working with people like Finn and even Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley, he's obviously come up to, not to their level, but he's not massively far off like he used to be. Being in there with his dad, Ray looks as good as ever. It's worrying that a man is that old and has been through that much. He still looks fantastic. And the fact that he brought back the LWO, amazing.
Yeah, that was weird.
I love that.
That's really, because the LWO were never a thing.
No,
like,
they weren't
like
usually.
An 8-week joke.
Yeah.
That was it. It was for us, if any of us, those left that watched Nitro in that time, but the LWO weren't a big thing that they're making this. Yeah, it's really weird.
I consider them with the BWO. They were never a thing. Like,
I mean, the BWO got over somehow as a joke. The LWO was, I think, the Mexican wrestlers were moaning about lack of TV time. So Bischoff was like, oh, fuck it, be the LWO.
Some t-shirts.
That was it. And Rey Mysterio, from what I remember, was the only one that didn't wear an LWO shirt.
Yeah.
Weirdly, I think Rey was the only Mexican wrestler that wasn't in the LWO and WCW. Now he's fucking forefronting it.
Yeah, weird. Now he's in charge.
It does make me think that the Hall of Fame induction was all for storyline purposes, because it doesn't feel like he's at the end of his career yet.
No, he doesn't. No, it really doesn't. I thought he was, like, whenever he left previously, when he looked like a little barrel, I thought he was done because his knees looked like they'd gone, but he's come back. And this run that he's had from those matches with Andrade all the way up to WrestleMania, he's looked amazing.
It was the perfect match for Dominic to be in his first major WrestleMania singles match.
Yes.
He's in there with Ray. And the story thing is, the storyline was so hot that the storyline would have carried him through the match. But the match in itself was good. It didn't need storyline to carry it. The match was really, really good.
Yeah.
We got the payoff of, you know, obviously Michael Cole going mental for the spanking in the corner. It was brilliant. And yeah, it was, I mean, I thought Dom would win. I genuinely thought Dominic was going to win.
I thought he would as well. I thought there'd be more interference, I thought, from the Judgment Day. But I like Bad Bunny helping out Ray, snatching the chair off Dom.
I did like that Rhea Ripley wasn't there, because obviously she was
preparing,
wrestling the later. So I did like how she wasn't there because she was up next. So it made sense
match,
for her not to be there. So that was a nice little touch. Yeah, the Bad Bunny stuff I kind of expected, because obviously Backlash is coming up in Puerto Rico. Bad Bunny's the host. So that did feel like that would be a natural place to put him. That didn't feel like a forced promotional thing.
We're going to get a tag match, right? We're going to get Bunny and Ray versus Priest and Dom.
What's happened, I'd say, that appears to be the way they're going to go. And
because Bunny and Priest
have
issues from previous, don't they?
Like, yeah, they have history as well, because obviously Bunny was brought in by Priest, wasn't he?
Yeah.
For Bunny's first match. So there's a history they can build on, obviously, in throwing the Ray Dom stuff as well. It's perfect booking. And it lets Bad Bunny get that big rub in his home.
To be mega over, isn't he?
Yeah, it's going to be huge. That's going to be a massive event.
Yeah.
It was a good match that is far from the end of this. There's so much more they can tell on this story. And I can't wait, because Dom is an absolute riot.
Yeah, he's the most overheated in the company right now. He has got proper X-Pac go away heat. The people hate him, and that's perfect. He couldn't get his on SmackDown. He couldn't get his, is it SmackDown or Raw? He couldn't get his promo out because he had to wait for the crowd to die down a little bit. They were that hot at him.
It was great. Okay, up next. The match that for a long time people thought was going to be the main event of the show, and ended up feeling like the two women were told it wasn't going to be the main event and thought, fuck it, we're going to go out there and show you why we should main event. Because this, I felt, was the best women's title match I've ever seen. The best women's match I've ever seen in WWE. Nothing tops it. This was incredible.
I have to agree. Yeah, I said previously, I'm not really a fan of either of these two, but it didn't feel like a passing of the torch moment, because Flair's nowhere near done, but I think she is going to start taking a Roman Reigns-esque John Cena schedule where she doesn't need to be around all the time. And I like the story of Ripley getting her comeuppance on Flair from, three years previous? It's a nice completion of a story.
Yeah, wasn't it the Performance Center of Mania, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That she. So, it's a couple of years now.
Yeah, so it feels like a nice completion of a story there. I'm interested to see where she goes now. Does she stick with the Judgment Day, or does she kind of break out on her own? Because reports are that they're going to eventually combine both belts, hers and Belair's belts, which they obviously had that face-to-face on Raw as well, saying that this is not over, this is just the beginning.
So, it felt like that was a foreshadowing of either Mania next year,
yeah,
or if they really want to, they could do it at SummerSlam.
Yeah, but definitely.
You could drag it to Mania. You could have a unification then, possibly.
Which would be fine. There's too many belts. One women's belt would be fine. One men's belt would be fine, I think. You don't need both of them. No. As Gunther has shown, you can make that IC title really important. But yeah, what a fantastic match. They both pulled out absolutely everything they had. And yeah, like to convert me into a Charlotte Flair fan for the night was, I mean, well done. Fair play.
Yeah, Charlotte. It's like they can't book Charlotte in an angle if it hasn't got the belt in it.
Yes.
It's at that point now where Charlotte can only wrestle in feuds that have the title involved.
Yeah, which is a shame because for me, she's no better than Bayley or Becky or any of the four horsewomen, even Sasha, wherever she's doing, whatever she's doing. Like, but for some reason, they see her as the one, and then it's Becky, and then it's the other two, or the other one but now.
Charlotte has massive name value that if she was to put people over the right way, could be really worthwhile. But
yeah,
I cannot literally remember the last feud she had that didn't involve a women's title. I can't think of
that. Neither can I. The fact that she's a 15, 14, 16-time champion. Yeah.
I know they don't often have multiple women's feuds at the same time. So more often you've only ever really got the women's title feuds, obviously on Raw and SmackDown, and maybe the women's tag title feud.
Yeah.
So you don't often have two women feuding for a personal reason or because someone spilled coffee over the other one, whatever, you know. You only have titles involved. But I feel that if they ever were going to try and book a non-total feud for women wrestlers, Charlotte, I don't think they'd know how to do it. Because, so if Charlotte's not going to win the title picture on either show, there's no point.
She's just
going to
disappear
there.
For a bit, isn't she? It's what she does.
I did see a report she's looking at doing some bodybuilding competitions, which is why her physique looked a bit more defined than usual here. And they kept showing her after the match, sort of smiling at ringside, as if to say, I'm happy with that. Rhea's done. I'm good. You know, she's won. I can go away now. And I do feel that we're now looking at probably a very Charlotte Flair free zone for a while.
Yeah, it's fine. She comes back. She does her 3 months of being a champion or then putting someone over in the title picture. Mm. Fine. I'm not a problem with that. That works. She'll always have that name value and she'll always have the history that she's got. So, yeah, it works for me. But, yeah, what
but she went
match.
Out of possibly her best match ever.
Oh,
and
yeah,
she
by
made
far.
Rhea look like a star. She didn't need to, but Rhea came out looking even better than she... I mean, Rhea's completely redefined herself since she did the Judgment Day stuff.
Yeah.
And she's made herself into that person that the fans get behind, even though she's a heel, that if this match had a main evented, it wouldn't have felt like a flat ending of a heel winning because the match was that good that it did deserve to main event, even though there was another match that also deserved to main event, which is not a bad problem to have.
No, it's a good place to be.
It did feel like they were proving a point as to say, this could have been our position. We are the main event. This is the match you could have had.
Yeah. Look what you've missed out on, but you haven't because we still had it. It was great.
Okay, up next, as a little calm down before the main event, we had the guest host of WrestleMania, The Miz and Snoop Dogg, with his gold championship belt, which has been all over social media, various different celebrities and stuff. And The Miz apparently was put in a match, and I thought, oh, Bobby Lashley's going to be here, or LA Knight's going to be here, as rumoured. And then we got the return of Pat McAfee again.
Yeah. I'm always happy to see Pat, but I'd rather have been on commentary. I'll be honest.
I did like Michael Cole's. He's wearing his WrestleMania tank top.
Yeah.
The glittery one that he wears every fucking time.
The fact that that's the biggest bromance in the world, that is. Cole and them. I would have liked him on commentary. Corey Graves did a good job, but imagine a whole WrestleMania of Cole and Pat McAfee.
The fact that every time Pat comes back, they always make a point of saying Michael Cole didn't know. And it's every time. It's like they keep Michael Cole in the dark about it.
Yeah.
It's like we don't want to tell him. We want him to shoot.
We want that genuine.
Go mad when he comes
reaction.
Out. And for Corey then to be, oh God, he's back again. And it's like, is that a shoot or did he know? I don't care because this is brilliant.
Yeah. I love Corey's disdain at him. Oh, just on commentary as well. Titus O'Neil, get him on commentary more often. He was fantastic.
Yeah, he commentated during the RC title match. We'll get to that. Yeah, he added so much to that match.
It was so good.
Something I never thought But I would say that Titus O'Neil added something that wasn't falling over and was killing himself in Saudi Arabia down the ramp.
He's already better at commentary than Booker T. He has.
He is. Yeah, so Pat McAfee came back, beat The Miz. The Miz plays his role. He's there. That's what Miz does.
Miz is fantastic.
And that's why he gets these spots, because he's Teflon. You can do that and it doesn't hurt him.
Yeah, he's lost two matches at WrestleMania 39. Doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah, we'll get on to the other one shortly. Right, main event. The match that really always should have main evented. There was a lot of back and forth, but this felt like this was always going to be the main event of night one. The story has been going for 9 months. Should it have been this match that Sami Zayn was in at Mania? Yes, no. Talk about it, so the cows come home. But we got here. It's the Usos defend the Undisputed Tag Team Championships against Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. And I know Meltzer gave it 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. Little bit heavy on the super kicks. Seemed a little bit too much. It was like a young Bucks tribute at one point.
It was.
But the false finishes got me. Especially, there was a few times.
1D. Oh, my God.
I genuinely thought they were going to completely pop the balloon of this is Sami Zayn. This imagine is the
if they'd done it twice.
I genuinely thought they were about to have Sami lose again. I was like, how? No way.
Imagine if coming out of Mania, the Usos still had those belts and Raymond still had his belt.
Yeah. It was incredible. It was a great bit. It was the first ever tag team championship match to main event WrestleMania.
Brilliant. I love that.
Sami Zayn gets a WrestleMania main event. Kevin Owens main event Mania two years in a row. Incredible for him.
Brilliant.
And it was obviously the story has carried on because it's carried on the TV shows following.
Mm-hmm.
But in that moment of Sami Zayn and the Jey Uso thing, it was a perfect storybook ending to the feud they had told up to that point.
People will say Vince is back and having a lot more control than he has done previously. They've just main evented WrestleMania with a tag team match. That would never have happened under a Vince watch.
Yeah, how much control do you really have if that's the main event? I'm sorry, if he was running that show directly, Charlotte main event WrestleMania. Yeah. End of. There's no way you're main eventing with the tag match that doesn't involve a major celebrity.
Exactly, yeah. No way. Hates tag wrestling. But this was superb. The 1D, Zayn's kick out on the 1D, and Michael Cole's reaction. It's incredible how much a good commentator can bring to a match. And for me, Cole has overtaken JR now. He is incredible. I think the job he does, the fact from where he became what he was to what he is now as well, he is so good. Like the fact that he's out of his chair almost constantly. He's like Mauro Ranallo. He's constantly sort of up and like shouting and screaming, not reading off a script anymore as well. He's become the best of all time for me. But the Usos as well are they the perfect tag team? They're just so good, aren't they? Everything they do is just flawless.
This does feel like a podcast episode coming up at some point of where we discuss best tag teams, because I think we are at the point now where we are having a discussion. Are the Usos the best tag team of the modern era?
Because
everyone's going to have of the tag teams that we grew up watching and obviously the years before that and the different eras.
Yep.
But in this modern era of when we've been watching, is there a better team of all-rounder that can do it all than the Usos?
They are so, so good. And just to see the night finish with Zayn and Owens lifting those titles, and just the looks on their faces, and the fact that when Owens always hugs Zayn, he properly pulls him in really tight, like he's the big brother to Sammy's little brother. I love Kevin Owens. I've always loved Kevin Owens, and the fact that he's headlined 2 WrestleManias.
It was the finish as well was perfect. That it was. When Sammy lined up to hit that third Huluva kick on Jay, and there was that pause, and it was much like when the camera got the Shawn Michaels, I'm sorry, I love you, a flare. It's like you could see Sammy's face was like, this You've is what I this. Have to do. Like, this is almost that there was a moment where I read it as he still doesn't want to do this to Jay because he still thinks he can turn Jay, but.
Mm.
This is what he has to do, and I have to hit this man with a third kick, and I'm going to beat him. And it was just Hollywood does not do drama anywhere near what WWE does.
No,
end off. No movie can make you feel like that.
God, no. No, there's no finish to anything that makes me feel like a momentous wrestling thing does, and that is a momentous main event. We've had some duds in previous years at WrestleMania. This was. It was as close to a perfect tag team match as you can get.
Yeah.
And it had a story. It had everything. I will always go back to that. The finish, the near fall of the 1D. Like, no one's kicked out of that. And they don't make a big deal of people not kicking out of moves, really. And the 1D is a stolen finisher. But the fact that it's never been kicked out of before, and for Zayn to do it after being beaten up so badly, it was a huge, huge moment.
And as you said, we had the pitch book ending of Night One going off the air with Owens and Zayn holding the belts. Did you catch the press conference after Mania?
Yes, I watched it. Well, I watched it the day after because I wasn't staying up to watch them because I sat at a table talking at 4 o'clock in the morning. But yeah, I watched it the day after. It's very good.
Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
I watched it. Obviously, I watched Mania the next day, so I watched press conference after. Kevin Owens has got to be the worst person at trying to secretly eat a Snickers bar in history. Trying to use the mic to cover or eating what I think. And at one point, I'm pretty sure he merged his second and third bar almost in one bite.
Yeah.
Because it was like Owens was asked by one of the nameless reporters about, oh, you got to really talk about your serious stuff during this, and you've really got to use it as a platform. He's like, yeah, it's all very important. And he's just... ignore that Sammy's talking this really serious, deep, heartfelt, emotional stuff. And Kevin Owens is just sitting there, just in heaven, munching on the Snickers.
I was waiting for him to get a box of cupcakes out. I thought that was coming at some point. The fact that he was eating food, that would have been so good.
It was when Sammy was talking and Owens, and Sammy was like, what? He went, no, nothing. I'll eat the Snickers. Brilliant. It's like, what more advertising do you need than this?
Yeah, they're just mates living their best life. And yeah, getting away with stuff that they probably previously wouldn't have got away with if they're not in this position that they're at now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, they're living their best lives right now, and fair play to them.
Mate, this whole night and this match was so good that when they do eventually lose the belts and how it goes down and whatever happens and whether the inevitable sort of like downfall and whatever happens, we'll always have this moment and we'll always have this match that was perfect with Michael Cole adding to it and the story of Sammy and Jay. No matter what happens in future, this match main evented WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And it was a perfect match.
Those two holding the belts up with the fireworks coming off behind will be in that WrestleMania montage. Like, it's a Daniel Bryan moment. It's a Kofi Mania moment. It's up there with the best wrestling moments of WrestleMania. Amazing.
Okay, so night one for me, one of the best WrestleManias of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Set the bar ridiculously high that night two tried but couldn't quite match up to. But night two certainly wasn't without greatness.
No.
Straight away kicked off with Brock Lesnar, who clearly didn't fancy staying around.
Yeah, we said Brock was opening the show, didn't we?
Yeah, wanted to get out. Brock just makes stuff work. This had no right to be good or entertaining or what, but Brock made this work.
Yeah, when he finally got the German suplex and to get him up for an F5, I don't care that Omos can't wrestle. He is a ginormous man. The fact that Brock can lift him up and F5 him is an astounding feat of strength. He's so good, Brock Lesnar.
I thought Omos looked all right. I thought
he did as well.
Looked better. He looked a lot more convincing.
Yeah, less lumbering giant, more big guy wrestler. I think he must have been working hard with MVP and whoever else has got kind of coaching him. But yeah, he looked good. Obviously, it is what it is, wasn't it, this match? It was never going to be a 5-star classic. It was just going to be two big lads beating each other up. And that's what we got. And yeah, that's fine for me. More than happy with that.
Up next, like we had the note before with the men, this time it was the women's turn, the WrestleMania Showcase. It was Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green against Natalya and Shotzi, Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, and the worst eye makeup of all time in Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, I skipped this.
What the fuck was happening with Ronda Rousey's eyes?
I fast forwarded through this. Can't watch Ronda Rousey. I've hated Ronda Rousey from the minute she stepped into this company.
So very, very short synopsis here. Ronda and Shayna disappeared for most of the match. They came back in at the end. Ronda got an armbar and won. That was it.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's what I thought would happen.
That was literally it.
Yes.
Natalya, I still don't understand this whole legendary thing that they paint with her. I've never liked Natalya, ever.
I liked her when she was with TJ Hart and Harry Smith. When she first came in, but that was a good 11 years ago at this point.
It's a long time ago now, isn't it?
Yeah. I like Shotzi. Shotzi's my favourite wrestler in this match, her and Sonya Deville.
And impressively, Shotzi didn't try and kill herself this time. Yeah. Every match she has, she almost dies. So this time she didn't. So that's progression. Well done.
She's a bad wrestler, but I like her personality.
Tank, which is a shame. There was no tank.
No, it's WrestleMania.
Apparently the tank was there. They decided not to use it. It seems very weird.
Anyway, let's get to the next match because I'm
like, okay. So this match I was looking forward to immensely, incredibly, because I was there. We were there when we saw Gunther take on Sheamus and had the 5-star classic in Cardiff. Awesome. And Drew just adds to this. And you can tell these three guys love having this kind of thing. Yeah. They just beat the fuck out of each other because they'd all know each other from the European stuff in the Indies and everything.
Yeah.
And this had huge expectations of big meaty men slapping meat and all that stuff.
Yeah.
This was somehow even better than all of my expectations times by 10.
Yeah, it was absolutely phenomenal.
Greatest triple threat match in not just WrestleMania, but WWE history was immediately one of the claims being thrown out, and there's no argument for me. This was the perfect match.
Yeah, the fact that you can put him up against former world champions, Gunther, this is, and him be the big dog in this match.
Yep.
Like, everyone got their moments, but Gunther was always the one that was going to win this for me. Sheamus didn't need to win it. I know he's on this big quest to win the Aussie title. And Drew, he's got nothing else to do at the minute, so put him in it. But they were just, the chemistry between all three of them is just incredible. It's off the charts. The fact that you can have all three in the ring, just like, they just hit the thrown arms, just chopping whatever is close to them. It was so good. All three's chests and backs and throat areas just red raw at the end of it. They're so, the booming chops that Gunther hits. Christ almighty. 28 beats of the Bowery, was it? Drew suffered.
Yep.
He almost got one more in the face as he was falling off the ramp, the ring side of the ring as well. Like, they must feel so sore after this, but also so elated that they could put on a match like that and know that they don't have to do all the technical wrestling stuff. Just go out there and beat the crap out of each other. And people will eat it up.
Amazing. I remember over a year ago when Walter was about to leave NXT and he lost cleanly to Bron in his kind of farewell.
Mm-hmm.
And he was moving up to the main roster. There was all that talk about, well, Vince doesn't really like him, but he has lost a lot of weight. So that kind of put him in favor.
Yeah.
And then he was going to get buried straight away because they didn't fancy it. Mm-hmm. And now Gunther has had a classic with Sheamus. He's had an all-time classic now at WrestleMania. WrestleMania, of all places.
Yeah.
And it's at the point now where no matter who's running the show, Gunther will prevail.
Yes, absolutely. Imperium were fantastic. Gunther is the leader of those two other lads by a mile.
When Gunther came out, it was it felt like a superstar had arrived. Yeah. It wasn't just it's the guy in the long coat. It's like the ring general had arrived. Yeah. And it felt like, oh my God, a megastar's walked out.
It's like The Undertaker. It's not a huge entrance. It's just a man walking to a ring in a coat with some fantastic, ominous music.
Yeah.
But Christ almighty, he is a star. If we don't get Gunther versus Reigns this year, something's gone wrong at some point.
Gunther versus Brock is going to happen.
Oh my God.
Because Brock's already spoken about how he likes the sound of it, but he doesn't make a decision. That's why it didn't happen, whatever.
Yeah.
Gunther versus Brock is on the docket at some point. If we don't get Reigns versus Gunther in the next 2 years, failures have taken place on a monumental level.
Yeah.
Gunther has shown that for anyone that moans about, I got overlooked, I got buried, I got told I wasn't good enough, I got told I was too fat to work, lose the fucking weight then.
Exactly.
This is a man who famously didn't want to move to America.
Yeah.
He didn't want to work full-time for WWE. He was happy doing NXT UK. He could live in Europe. He could travel over to London when he had to or whatever, wherever they were.
Yeah.
And he was fine with that. And they let him do it. Then, whether it was because of his marriage dissolving and he thought, well, fuck it, I've got nothing here now. He shacked up with that NXT woman. I don't know if she's still in NXT. And he moved to America. And he was told by Vince, I like you, but your physique doesn't work for me. So he thought, okay, I'll lose it.
Yeah.
And he did. Like, if you want... For this is someone who apparently didn't really want success in America.
Yeah.
So what the fuck is he doing this for then, other than just, well, okay.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's a challenge at this point. Vince McMahon was challenging him.
Keith Lee. That's what he is.
That's what I mean. So for all these guys that moan about, I was told all this and I... No, you got no excuse.
Yeah.
Because you had Gunter, who didn't even really want to do this,
yeah, has gone and look and done what this. He's done.
And he's, from the scenes of it, he's won over Vince McMahon because he's still in this company. And he looks like $1 million. He's turned himself around. And he's somehow even better as well now.
In his time in the WWE, including NXT, he's had 5 5-star matches and 6 overall in his entire wrestling career. 5 5-star matches.
Like, bear in mind that before last year, I think the last five-star match that Meltzer gave to a WWE match was Punk versus Cena at Money in the Bank.
Yeah. That's 2012.
That was before they gave, I think he gave one to Cody versus Seth for the Hell in a Cell. And then since then, we've had the Sheamus match at Clash in the Castle. We've had, obviously, this one. But bear in mind, we still haven't had a pay-per-view match between Drew and Gunter yet.
No, we haven't. They can go that way.
We've had Drew and Sheamus, obviously, threat, and they always deliver. And we have a triple threat. So next up, I want McIntyre versus Gunter, and I want it now.
Yes, I want it now before McIntyre leaves because he's unhappy. But we'll get to that in a little bit.
But yeah, so Gunter won. Oh. Incredible match. Best triple threat match I've ever seen anywhere. And yeah, the sky is literally the limit for Gunter and what he can achieve. He's made the IC title relevant for the first time in, I'd say, 10, 15 years. Genuinely.
I just wish it looked like the IC title.
Yeah.
This design is hideous.
But he makes it work.
He does.
He makes it work.
It's the Gunther title. It'll always be the Gunther title.
Okay. Right. Raw Women's Championship matchup next.
Wrong decision. Asuka should have won.
Match was fine. Booking was shocking.
Yeah.
Bianca had no reason to win this match.
No, Asuka should have won. I don't think they've halted their momentum with this. I think she's going to fall further and further into a lot of the depths of depravity and become an even more evil sort of character, which is fantastic because she's awesome at that. And hopefully she will get the belt at some point because face champions aren't good champions for single spells.
Faces chase better.
Exactly.
Like, the point of a baby face and the title is they're chasing the belt. Why do you think back in the Attitude Era and stuff, when The Rock won the belt, he lost it the month later?
Exactly. Because
the money's in the chase. Yep. He has to win the chase eventually, but then he'll always lose because the heels always get the underhanded win. That's what happens.
Exactly.
Unless you're Hulk Hogan in the 80s, baby faces don't hold championships for over a year. And she's now held it for a year.
Yeah.
That's mental.
And it's been a fairly uneventful year. Like, bar her kind of series of matches with Bayley, I can't think of another sort of
feud. I can't remember any serious, like...
No. They should have put the belt on Asuka. Do it. She's, for me, the best women's wrestler in the company. She's incredible.
For me, the best part of this match that I think I want to note is the entrance
that
Bianca had.
Yeah.
And the little girl, the contortionist who came out, lost her mum that morning.
Yeah.
Like, her mum passed away that morning.
How could you do that?
And she still went out there in front of millions and did that with Bianca. That's incredible. Yeah. You can do your Make-A-Wishes, you can do your Connor's Cure, and that's all brilliant. But if there isn't some kind of documentary or some kind of package, if the family will allow it, on that, then that's...
She has to win that Warrior Award next year, hands down. Yeah. Hands down. I mean, no, it doesn't mean anything, but like, I can just imagine Vince backstage and shake it off, kid. You got a job to do.
Where he's in control, so who knows?
Yeah,
but no, that was it. And the entrance was good because it made Bianca feel like a star, and she is a star. She is the centerpiece of the division.
Yeah,
but she had no reason entrance as well. To win here. Yeah,
all the masks look really good.
Yeah, that was good. The only thing I'd say of Asuka is obviously you said about she could fall more into the depravity and stuff.
Mm.
Since Asuka came back at Rumble with this new look and the new mask, all I can ascertain is that she's got an evil new look and she screams a lot more.
Yeah.
Nothing else seems to really change with Asuka, though.
No, she's got the mists, but she kind of did that a little bit before anyway. She just needs to become more like hardcore, basically. Mm. I think it's what she needs to do, introduce some sort of underhanded cheating tactics, throw weapons around.
This whole feud, from what I can work out, all it's been is she won the Rumble, she's got a match. There was no, it wasn't like, oh my God, what has Asuka become? She's become this dark version. It was just like, oh, she's got new face.
They've done a really bad job of
awful development, explaining it.
Both women's matches, I think, really, the Charlotte and Ripley one really was kind of thrown together over a couple of SmackDowns. And this one felt like it's had no attention at all.
I get the downside of having the winners of the Rumble get the title matches because there is no personal element.
Yeah.
I know the Cody and Reigns thing, they try to inject more personal stuff into it, but ultimately it comes down to, well, you won a match, you get a shot. Okay.
Yeah.
There was nothing. We never heard Masker saying, I want that belt more than anything. I have to beat Bianca. It was just like, yeah, I won a belt.
Yeah, I've got a shot at it, so why not? Yeah, I'm going to try and win it.
That was it.
Yeah.
Okay, up next, we have The Miz and Snoop Dogg back in the ring. And obviously, Miz was unhappy about losing to Pat McAfee the night before. Snoop said, you're going to have another match. So I thought, right, this is where... Because Bobby Lashley was shown right before the...
He came out with a little wave, didn't he?
Did you hear about how Lashley clearly isn't happy with things because he was liking a lot of tweets about his really bad booking? And he wasn't trying to hide that he liked them because they're all sharp in his like column. Bobby Lashley, Bobby Lashley was fuming, and I was fuming for him because he deserved better than this.
Yep. He could have had a match. There's plenty of people, LA Knight,
done.
Just as a name out there, could have easily talked a few
people
together.
Work with Bray Wyatt and they get fucked over. Even if Bray's not there, they get fucked over working with Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. The whole thing with Lashley was just completely thrown together to give both of them a match, wasn't it? There was nothing to it at all.
Yeah. So the Miz is out there, and when they said, right, you're going to have another match, I thought, right, this is LA Knight, this is Bobby Lashley, this is anyone, like anyone you could have had.
Play the music, Andrew.
Why the fuck is Shane McMahon here?
Oh my God. This was awful.
Why is Shane McMahon? We absolutely saw him awful. Over a year ago when he tried to book himself to win a fucking Royal Rumble. Vince McMahon even told him, you'll never get in a pop again as long as I'm in control. There you go. For anyone that says Vince is in control, he ain't, because Shane's back. So Shane, and also as a point, when Shane tried to book himself to win the Royal Rumble, he made nearly $900,000 from that one night alone.
Ridiculous.
That's fucking highway robbery right there. He's wearing a mask and carrying a bag with swag written on it. So Shane comes out sweating the minute he gets onto that stage. So his cardio is as shit as it was a year ago. Shane does the dance and people pop because wrestling fans in America are fucking idiots.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there. Everyone around me is in a state of apoplectic shock. Why are we watching Shane McMahon in 2023 dunking and driving down to the ring?
Yeah.
Shane gets in the ring. We have a match. Fine. Whatever. We can do this. 5 minutes. Let's get out of the way. Yeah. Shane McMahon does a leapfrog. Shane McMahon collapses. All hell breaks loose. Is it a work? No, because the camera's focusing on Miz too much. All of a sudden, and we'll get into in a minute how it all went down eventually.
Yeah.
As we saw, Snoop Dogg fucking goes rogue, smacks Miz with a punch, then another one, does the second worst people's elbow in history, and wins the match.
Yeah.
Shane.
What a shambles.
In the biggest tribute to a father that any son could ever wish to do, Shane McMahon, 18 years and 2 months after his dad did the same thing, blew his quad.
If you're part of the McMahon-Helmsley family,
in a business that is written to the minutest of detail, you could not have written this to go down.
Oh my God. I know it's an awful injury, and I feel bad that his legs are completely shattered, but he tried to stand up, and his leg just went, no, you're not doing that.
What I love more is that Miz kept running after he collapsed. It's like, Miz, what are you doing?
Just pin him.
So, once Shane went down, there's been different camera angles and stuff could be heard. The referee, Jessica Carr, straight down to Ted to Shane, starts the first aid procedure.
Yep.
In her headset, I can only imagine the panic going on backstage at this point. They tell her, get Snoop to do the elbow.
Yep.
I'm guessing the finish was always going to be Snoop doing the elbow, just maybe not straight away. So the ref tells this to Snoop. An angle that I literally got put out online from a fan literally 2 days ago, I think it was. A cameraman shouts and motions at Snoop, punch Miz, punch him. So Snoop, who, lest we forget, is a rapper who's high 90% of his life, who's never worked a match, took over better than most professionals do, got in there, took charge, knocked the Miz down, and hit the people's elbow. Yeah. Like, saved the match. It's amazing.
Oh my God. Yeah. I thought Miz would have done better to think on his feet at this point. But yeah, the fact that it, how it ended up was like fine. Like Miz got his
Snoop
belt.
Took instruction in a chaotic improv scenario better than a lot of wrestlers I've seen.
Yeah. Absolutely. Fair play to him. Because he was absolutely high as a kite throughout this. But I don't know how much how high he is, unless it's just a permanent state now that he can live and he can work in. Yeah.
Last year we had Vince take the worst stun in recorded history stumble to the point even Austin was corpsing and people worldwide were laughing. This year, Shane McMahon tries to stand up after blowing his quad, falls down, the entire world are laughing at him again. So,
please stop putting the McMahons at WrestleMania. Yeah, please
stop. Please. I bet Steph's there thinking, and this is why I walked away.
Yeah, thank God I'm no longer involved in this. The only McMahon left with working quadriceps.
But the record books will show that Snoop Dogg did in fact beat The Miz at WrestleMania 39 Night 2.
Fair play to The Miz. Looked up the lights twice in a suit both times as well.
He did. Okay, right. Semi-main. Never the easiest position to be in, especially following that disaster. Edge. Finn Balor.
Mm.
First of all, Rude Edge.
Yeah.
What is Rude Edge?
I don't know. This has been this thing this last couple of years that he's got this demon side. And he hasn't really. Like, he was just a follower of Gangrel. He
wears a shiny mask.
Yeah, what was that mask?
A shiny helmet.
I know Finn's been taken to wearing masks recently, but what was that he wore? It looked like the knockoff from Triple H's Terminator thing a few years back.
It was like the Terminator had a love child with Scott Steiner's headgear and a disco ball. And what came out was what was on Edge's head.
Yeah,
it was really weird.
Yeah,
and also, for the talk of Gangrel showing up, nothing.
No, to be seen. Yeah, there was thought that Christian would be allowed to appear as well. But never going to happen.
Finn came out as the demon.
He had to kind of speed it up a bit because that was a long old entrance way.
Yeah, yeah. And then a ladder got brought into play and Finn took it head on.
Yeah.
And then you had that really awkward thing of a Hell in a Cell, the most demonic all blood, we better stop it, people.
Yeah, stop.
It just seems weird, doesn't it?
Edge did a very good job of covering for a lot of that by getting all the weapons out, going under the ring, doing everything he could to kind of distract us. And as a viewing audience watching on TV, you didn't see a lot of the Balor being kind of glued back together and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's... thing is, they couldn't have let him carry on with it. It was that bad of a cut that he probably would have bled out. He would have lost consciousness at some point because he was pissing blood from his head. But the fact that when he, as soon as he was ready to go, he was flying around that ring, Balor. I love him, Balor. He is so good. He had this before, didn't he, in the Samoa Joe match in NXT where Joe had to get fixed back up during the match as well.
Yep.
And Joe again went full throttle straight after it. The fact that he was willing to do some of the moves he did with his head like a bloody flower opened at the top was a credit to him.
Did the injury and the stoppages ultimately affect the quality of the match? And also, even without that stoppage, there's something for me that's missing about Edge now, and I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah, the magic's worn off, I think, in his return. Balor should have won this. The Demon should have won. The Demon should not be losing to Edge. He's lost twice in a row now. The mystique is gone. Like, he was unbeatable for years. His Demon matches in NXT were incredible. And now he just loses.
Where does Edge go from here? I assume the Judgment Day thing's over now.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Where does Edge go from here? He's fought for the championship. He's lost. He's won the Royal Rumble. Like, there's no point in challenging for titles because he's never going to win them.
No.
But what is there left for him to do?
I don't know what he does now. He needs to just retire, really.
I mean, he's talking about retiring, I think it's later this year. I mean, is SummerSlam in Toronto? No, SummerSlam's in Detroit. If they've got a big Toronto show coming up, then maybe you'd be focused on that. I don't know, but...
Yeah. He needs to lead. Like, he's had his comeback. It worked fantastically. It was brilliant. now it's time to kind of call it an end and have the end that you wanted to have initially,
yeah,
rather than being forced to retire. And that's the best way to do this.
He always said he wants to end it on his terms, on his say-so. Well, you've got the chance to do that.
Yeah.
You've worked your dream matches. You've put people over you wanted to.
Mm.
You've had your big moments.
Yeah.
Now you can close the book now.
Yeah.
And I love Edge. Like, I've always liked Edge. But
yeah, his return to that Rumble, Jesus Christ, it was phenomenal. But yeah, there's nothing left for him now.
Okay, main event. Time for Cody Rhodes to tell his story and finish his story, or will the Tribal Chief make it a third successive WrestleMania success? That is mental. A third successive WrestleMania successfully defend the World Championship.
Hogan levels of
three WrestleManias as champion in a row. That is insane.
Nine minutes from the start of the music to Roman getting into the ring. Nine minutes.
Quicker than usual, to be fair. I'm pretty sure it was longer than that in Cardiff.
It's a long, long ramp.
But the thing is, I love the entrance. I love every minute of it. It exudes like megastar. Like,
pure
it's just,
confidence, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And Cody's entrance was insane. I mean, I still can't believe that Cody is over. Nothing knock on Cody, but it's still weird how Cody Rhodes a year.
Cody Rhodes.
Like, he returned just over. Well, he returned a year ago.
Yeah. It's dashing Cody Rhodes.
It's mental. And like, when the music hit and when it was like, whoa, it was like, oh, wow.
That
like,
whoa, oh, yeah.
Wow, that took breath away. Like, that was insane.
Yeah, he...
The match was amazing. It was a great match for me. I thought Cody held up his end because everyone says it, and I firmly put Roman Reigns as the pinnacle of the business. Like, there is no one better at this shit than Roman Reigns.
Absolutely.
He knows how to do it and when to do it and what to do. And every little detail about Roman Reigns, he may not be the best technical wrestler. He may not be the most charismatic, but maybe. But in that environment, no one touches Roman Reigns.
People always talk about Big Match John. Big Match Roman is miles ahead of wherever
Roman
John
Reigns
was.
Has created a new template of what Big Match is now. Like,
yes.
The talking to the trash talking, you know, that only the camera picks up, and the little details and everything, and the little smiles and the smirks, and no one gets it more than him. And I thought Cody matched him every fucking step of the way here.
Yeah, which is mental to think. But yeah, Cody Rhodes is a superstar. And when he does eventually beat Reigns for that belt, which he will do, and I'm all for Roman keeping that belt for 1,000 days, because that is a record that will never be beaten. It's a history-making thing. I wish he'd beaten him. Well, I don't wish he'd beaten him clean, because then it kind of kills it a little bit. The fact that Solo got involved and Heyman was there as well, it just plays into making him even the bigger, badder guy. Like, he is the ultimate boss, and you've got to defeat everything around him before you can beat Roman.
I think you've answered my question, but I'll ask it anyway. Yeah. In that moment where the story is being told by Cody, you had the promos leading up to it, everything was it. Cody was as over as he's been ever in his career ever. Did the right person win in that moment for you?
Yes. I tweeted a few weeks before that I thought Roman was going to win, and it just all lines up too perfect. That 1,000 match, the 1,000 days is around the time of the Saudi Arabia show. It's on the Saudi show,
isn't it?
Yeah. There's just so much money involved in that. And at the end of the day, this is a business. To have a 1,000-day champion in Saudi Arabia, the richest country in the world, like, it's all perfectly lined up. When he does lose it, it'll be a phenomenal moment. The fact that Cody's lost now only makes that moment better for me, because what's he done really is he came back at 30 in the Rumble, won the Rumble, and then has beat a couple of lads on Raw, beat Solo once or twice, and that's it. Like, he's not had... I know he's talked about his story, but his story with Roman has been for 2 months.
There is no story,
No, he just won a Rumble. It's the same as Asuka facing Belair, really, that she won the Rumble, she gets a title match.
Okay, we'll get on to a minute, obviously, what happened with Cody on Raw the night after and how that part of the story is coming up.
Yeah.
So, Roman wins, lol. Mm. Robert Chicken in the ring next to Cody, whatever. Roman once again going off air as the heel champion for the third WrestleMania in a row.
Yeah.
Even more cementing his legacy. What did you think of night two when it was all said and done?
Night one was better. But night two had the best match of WrestleMania, and that was the triple threat match.
Would you say, obviously, we know the triple threat match was the best match of WrestleMania. Would you put the tag title match from night one better than Roman Cody, or would you have the tag title match as the second best match of the weekend?
I think the tag title match was probably the second best match, and then Roman Cody would be third. That's my top three.
I mean, I think Roman Cody is probably, for me, tying with Charlotte and Rhea for match three, because I think the tag title match had the drama and the emotion built in, whereas the Gunther match was just fucking insane.
Yeah, it was just pure
entertainment.
Nothing was
going to top that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so hard, because the Seth versus Logan match was like my favourite match, but it's not the best match.
We're now into, what, 3 years of two-night manias?
Yes.
I think. I can't remember if the pandemic mania was a two-night thing. I think it was, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
But in that case, we had 4 years then.
Yeah.
Is this the best two-night mania they've done yet?
Oh, by a mile. Yeah.
Because both nights, for me, were good. It wasn't, night one was great, night two was shit, or vice versa.
Yeah.
Both nights were really good, but night one was just that little bit better.
Yeah, and that's I like that. It creates competition between the guys on the show one and show two. Like, if you're on night two, like Gunther and the Triple Threat boys, you know the standard has been set by the matches on night one. Go out and beat it. Creates competition within your own company.
It looks like they're going to continue with this format of two nights. Are you in fact? Okay, I think I know the answer. Are you in favour of the night two? The two nights continuing?
Yeah, I hated with a passion 7 hour WrestleManias. It was
too
long.
We've done 7 hour WrestleManias.
Oh fuck me! Yeah,
either in a house or in a bar. You know,
didn't need it. It's too long. By the end, by the main event, you were absolutely exhausted. No one was exhausted.
I wouldn't even say main event. I was done when Rock started lighting his name on fire. And that was a good hour and a half before the finish.
Like, yeah. I mean, night two was what, just over 4 hours?
I mean, as I said before, I sacrificed night one live to get through night two. But I think if you can prepare yourself physically, and from a personal point of view, my week leading up to Mania was all over the place. And it was chaotic. Shattered as fuck. So,
yeah.
But if I had that preparation, I could do two nights live fine.
Oh, yeah.
But I could never have done both of those in one sitting on a Saturday or Sunday night. No way.
If that had been, yeah, if you're getting to Roman Reigns and it's...
Well, that's the thing. And also, would Roman and Cody have had that reaction if they were the end of a 7 hour show?
They wouldn't.
You could not keep a crowd that alive.
No.
That amount of time. You just can't do it. It's not fair on the performance.
No, because where would you pitch the tag title match?
That's the thing.
That can't be the
semi-main
event.
You put that on semi-main, but then that burns out the crowd for the main event.
Exactly, yeah.
You've got to
now
do this.
The way they've got it
now,
it's perfect. Yeah,
they've figured out. Stories seem to get better because of the two nights, because now they can separate them and give it own that little spotlight.
Yeah.
So that works.
A bit more time.
Okay. A few notes from Mania. Obviously, Show Man, we said, tore his quad. Reportedly, there was a Lashley LA Knight segment that was scrapped from night two, which is a real shame because both guys deserve to be on Mania in some form or fashion.
Always been brilliant since his comeback.
And lastly, a note on Roman Reigns' victory. Apparently, the victory was planned a good few weeks before the show itself. So I think the idea of Cody having to fight from even further beneath to get that ultimate goal, I think is correct. After what we saw on Raw, we'll get to in a moment, and there's so much more of the story they can tell with Cody and make him even bigger than what he is now.
Yeah.
I think that does make sense. So I think they made the right call with that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Now, big story. On Sunday, before Mania, or during Mania actually as well, there was a lot of rumours and a lot of talk online that Endeavour, the owners of UFC, had agreed a deal massively to purchase WWE and merge WWE with UFC to form a brand new fighting company, as it were. And that there'd be a massive official announcement on the Monday. That the Monday came, and there was, in fact, early in the day of official announcement with an interview recorded on the Saturday, I believe, with Vince McMahon. He of moustache looks fucking awful. He, Vince, and the owner of Endeavor sat Graham down with one of the American News Corps and did this big interview about how everything. The bottom line of it is that Endeavor will now have a 51% controlling interest in this new company when the deal's complete.
Yeah.
Existing shareholders are 49%. Vince now loses his voting power that he currently has Vince good. Will now only have an 18% voting power when it comes to major corporate decisions.
Okay.
Under the new codes, they haven't got a name for it yet. On the stock exchange, they're going to be called TKO.
But I like
there
that.
there isn't a company name for the new company as of yet.
Yeah.
The leadership structure, notably, will have Vince McMahon as the executive chairman of the board, and Nick Khan will be WWE president.
Yeah.
Notably, Triple H is not in that leadership table.
He doesn't need to be. He's busy enough writing the shows every week.
There was an internal memo, an email sent out by Vince to all WWE employees, in which reportedly he stated that Triple H does remain as chief content executive. So no change there, essentially. A lot of people are speculating that Vince personally preferred and chased this deal because Endeavor made it clear they wanted Vince to remain as control of creative and having the final say. Vince was asked about this in that sit-down meeting, and he's basically said, will you be as in the weeds, blah, blah, blah. And Vince was like, well, I've been in the weeds of creative, but I can't do that, not anymore. So he'll be overall, and he will have hands-on, but he won't be, in all the weekly, daily meetings. He will just basically say, this is my final say, blah, 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 but Triple H will still do what he does. So, but essentially, I still read it as Triple H has been demoted to an extent.
As long as he's in control of creative, that's all for me that really matters. The new sort of Nick Khan as the president, he's the one that's he deserves that role because that's his job. He is the president of this, and then is
but if Vince has final say on creative, does that still undercut Triple H to the extent of he may run the meetings every day, but he can still be overruled by Vince, who may say, well, no, I don't want that person to be a champion, for example.
I think Vince will be out the door very, very soon. I think something else is going to happen, more court cases and like that, and they will remove him because he's an executive vice chairman, whatever he's called. That's just a title. Have this title, pretend you've got some power. He's not running anything. The guy, Ari Emanuel, the guy that's running the whole thing, he's the president of the whole lot of it.
Yeah.
He will soon force Vince out or remove Vince from his thing. So Nick Khan, you've seen UFC.
You follow UFC for some time now.
Yeah.
You are far more familiar than I'll ever be with it. You've seen how UFC have grown and developed with the model that they have, and obviously since Endeavor have owned them.
Yeah.
Do you see this as a good thing for WWE and its future?
I think it's a very good thing. Not a lot of people know Endeavor Streaming has been providing back-end services for the network since 2019.
Okay.
So they're already well established in this market of providing online content. If my ultimate dream for this is the two things are in one, there's one like fight network that we can download. You can watch UFC, you can watch WWE, you can watch all the other sort of companies that could be involved in this. For me, I hope it's all leading into that world. What I don't want is what I've seen loads of people on Twitter now saying, oh, let's have Roman Reigns versus Conor McGregor. No, let's not have that. Let's not mix the worlds. We don't need to mix the worlds. They're two completely separate entities, and I hope to God they don't mix them. I don't think they will. I think they will keep them separate.
Yeah, I think when you see the words merging, I think people have that thought of they're going to make one big fight company, and it's going to be that person versus that person.
Yeah.
The two companies can exist. The name value of both companies means too much to scrap them for a new company. That they'll still be their own entities, but just under a new umbrella. I think that's all it's going to be, because it makes no sense to have a predetermined environment mixed in with a real environment. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. You can have the crossover things. Daniel Cormier, former middleweight champion, was at Stand and Deliver. He was helping Carmelo Hayes. So you've got that there. Undertaker's been to loads and loads of UFC events, and he's always pictured in the crowds there. So you've always got that kind of crossover between the two companies anyway. The fact that they can now tap into each other's resources and explore other markets, I think it's only a good thing. I think there's no downside to this for me. I'm interested in what you said about Vince.
I didn't think about this, is that whether it be there's more to come from the skeletons in Vince's closet, or this is just to placate Vince to a point where they go, you know what? Like, the deal's gone through now. Trips are still running things. They're still interested in the company. This is all going gangbusters. Bye-bye, Vince. Here's a golden carriage, Clark, and a very nice big check. You've got your stock options. You go away now.
I think that's it. I think Nick Khan and Dana White, they're the two that be running everything, the two companies separately. And they've got one big overlord, Ari Emanuel, whatever he does. And then you've got UFC, have got their guys. Triple H has got his staff in place as well. He's got Regal there to do the job that Regal does. He's got Shawn Michaels in NXT. Just leave them as they are. They're both working perfectly fine right now. There's no reason to mess anything up. And it's obviously frustrating, I think, more than anything, to see Vince back involved with this sort of stuff, because we've had such a great 9-12 months with Triple H running the show. I don't think a lot of things are going to change. People got freaked out by Raw. It was just a bad Raw. There was no... To me, it didn't feel like a Vince Raw, because stuff still happened. Like that Brock turn, which we'll get on to, that was planned. That's been planned for a while now. And storylines are progressing, like with Mysterios and Bad Bunny and that sort of stuff. I think that things are in motion, and Vince cannot get involved and derail them now, because he knows he stands to lose money out of this. So why would he want to do that?
Plus, it comes down to the end of the day, is Vince and Triple H are family. That there is a, and we always hear how Vince has embraced Triple H taking over and doing it as he's doing it. So while I think people are jumping to, and we'll get onto it in a minute, Bayley didn't come out with damage control, it means the damage control will be fired and stuff, because Vince fired them in the first place. And Vince, Brock was going to leave, but now Vince has got control and Brock's staying again now. And it's like, it's stuff that's happened that it does make for a really good story.
Yeah.
But when you look at things like the Brock term was already planned, Roman was already going to beat Cody before the sale and before Vince got back involved. And yes, Vince may have rewritten things on Raw, but sometimes you can just have a bad episode of Raw. It doesn't mean that Vince is back.
Not every week has been perfect under Triple H. It's been there has been some rocky episodes, and that's fine. Like, we don't want it to be perfect. What you don't want is it to get to a point where Vince is sticking his nose in so much that he thinks, well, I've got a lot of money. I've seen Tony Khan go and set up a company. I can go and set up a company with my friends, with all the contacts I've got, and I can compete with WWE eventually. Mm-hmm. Like, that could realistically happen. Like, he could easily walk out and take a load of guys with him and start his own company in no time at all.
So all the talk leading into Raw was, of course, the sale and everything else, and what would happen, and all the stories about Vince being in charge of WrestleMania and blah, blah, blah. Triple H opened the show on Raw, coming out and basically doing a big rah-rah speech saying, we ain't going anywhere, the W that you love will always be here, blah, 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 fine,
he's home,
whatever.
And he's never going away again.
Ever. Cody Rhodes came out and challenged Roman to a rematch for the Universe Championship. Roman, of course, said no. Because why would he say yes? He said, but you can have a tag team match. Me and Solo against you and a partner who could not challenge for my Undisputed Championship. I like this because it was a logical way to bring out Brock Lesnar, who has never looked happier than when he was mugging in the ring with Cody Rhodes. Yes. It was brilliant. It did. Yeah. I saw someone put on Twitter, and it made me laugh so much. Cody and Brock saying each other looked like Brock was an evolved version of a Cody Pokemon. it was great. So that was your tag team main event. Cody and Brock versus Solo and Roman. All set. Yeah, brilliant. Set Brock's first Raw match in...
God, forever.
Since his first return, actually.
Yeah, John Cena.
Yeah, so since 2012. Christ. Well, so since 2000 and whenever he left the first time.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't wrestled on Raw since. He hasn't wrestled on... So that was a long, long, long time. That was a big match. Bad Bunny was at ringside for a match. Dominic Mysterio got involved in Austin Theory versus Rey Mysterio match. Austin won. He shuffled off. And it all ended up with Damian Priest hellaciously chokeslamming Bad Bunny for a table.
Christ almighty.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you take a bump, that guy.
As we suggested, and I think it's pretty obvious at this point, we are leading up to Backlash, where I assume we are going to get a tag match of Rey and Bunny versus Dom and Priest. All for that. No problem at all. The Miz was in the ring. Moaning at WrestleMania, obviously the two losses he had. Riddle came back and beat him up.
Got pants.
Yeah.
Rather than shorts. That's my main takeaway from Riddle's return.
I'm sorry, but I don't care. I don't really... No.
Unless you brought Randy with you, I don't care, Matt.
Exactly. And that's bring Randy back. I'm all on board. But until then, I don't really care. Main event time. Cody. And Brock, Cody comes out, gets his big entrance, intros in the ring, which was weird, seeing as it was a tag match with no belts in there, so that would automatically set alarm bells off. Right before the match, Brock turns heel on Cody.
Does he ever?
Oh my God.
Yeah, just a little bit. Absolutely destroyed a man.
And at that moment, we saw exactly why Cody lost to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, because now he's got to go through big, bad heel Brock Lesnar. He's now got to go through solo again before he can get to Roman Reigns. This is literally underdog booking 101.
Yeah. You've got to beat Shao Tsung before you get to Shao Kahn. Like, you've got to get you through the people before you get to the big bad boss. It's as simple as that. It's going to be brilliant watching Cody get through the people that Roman, well, not Roman's going to put it away, but people that are going to get in his way.
I also liked how they made it very clear that there was nothing between Roman and Brock. Like, Roman's like, go.
Roman's out of it.
I had horrible visions of a two-man power trip revival here.
Yes.
And I was like, you know what? I'd be on board with it, but at the same time, that's not something that I'll see Brock ever doing. Like,
smashing Becky Lynch with a chair across the face.
Yes. Yes.
Lita.
But yeah, Brock is now a heel again. And him and Cody is going to be insane. They're going to put on some absolute bangers. And it means Cody's now got to work from underneath. And it's going to make that that eventual title victory all the sweeter. So, yeah, perfect. Brilliant. Bring it on.
Yeah.
A few notes on Raw. Dave Meltzer, get my massive bag of salt. You can take massive pinches of here. But apparently Vince was in full control backstage at Raw, undergoing multiple rewrites, apparently the show was, both before and during the show. Meltzer said he was running TV tonight. He's back. It is what it is. It will be what it was before. If people think that was bad, it will be bad. That's just the way it is.
Is that AEW's Dave Meltzer?
Yeah, I think it might be AEW's Dave Meltzer. People then asked about what's happened on SmackDown in a few years' time. Meltzer's like, well, either he's come to SmackDown tearing up the show, or at worst, he'll stay in Connecticut and be remotely working. But either way, he's going to be in control, blah, blah, blah. He's number one. Triple H has gone from being the guy to basically being what Paul Heyman was, what Bruce Pritchard was, where they're in charge, but everything gets overruled. I'm going to need to see a lot more shows before I can say Dave was right or no, Dave's talking shit again.
Yeah, give me a build to Backlash and see, because I don't think that's true at all. I just can't see it.
We said about Roman's win. Apparently the Brock heel turn was planned at least a month before this, so before Vince got full of control.
Exactly.
So this is all. And thing is, Brock was kind of at the end of the babyface. There was not a lot for him to do. Once he couldn't transfer the belt anymore, he was facing Omos at fucking WrestleMania. That's the end of the babyface run.
Like, yes, exactly.
There's nothing else to do, so the heel turn makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you can be a heel and disappear for 4 months. Exactly. If you love babyface, it's a little bit harder when people love you and want to see you.
Yeah.
And Cody is now established even more so as the number one babyface in that company, because he's now got to overcome the Beast before he can get to the Tribal Chief.
Yeah.
Like, it's perfect. We just said this 2 minutes ago, but we're going to say it again. This is incredible booking.
Yeah. Yeah. People can hate that Cody lost and can hate that Brock turned heel, but it all makes perfect sense, really.
Omos wrestled on Raw, and reportedly he wasn't meant to be wrestling. He was approached in catering and told, hey, you're working, like Vince said so, and Omos had to rush to find some gear to wrestle in. The only question I was like, the only question to say to this is, whose gear did he have to borrow? Because no one on that show is working in that gear.
Why is he there without his gear if he's not working? What's he there for?
I thought the rule in wrestling was you bring your gear.
Exactly, like,
he's never worn that stuff before. And so he had to rush around to find gear. It's not like when Randy Orton borrowed a pair of someone else's pants. Yeah, like, exactly. No one is Omos's size.
No.
Like, there's... So Finn Balor, can I borrow your gear? I need to come on.
Braun's on SmackDown. So Braun's the only one that can feasibly have something that would fit him. But I don't buy it. Not there.
Seth Rollins came out for a segment. This was a weird one. So Seth came out.
Yeah.
It went to a break. It came back. He did a sing along with the crowd and then went.
Then walked off. Yeah.
There was a video taken during the commercial where he was being talked to by like three or four production members, and it looks like he was basically told, whatever you're doing, you ain't doing it anymore. Do a sing along and fuck off.
Yeah.
That happens all the time. I don't know. I mean, Yeah,
things get cut for time all the time, don't they? So,
yeah. Again, if Vince wasn't there and if there was no sale, does this just get chalked down to as one of those things?
It's Seth Rollins being Seth Rollins. Like, again, I think it's just they're making something out of nothing with it.
There was one. Oh, I was debating with, because again, this felt like Mortis Meltzer shit, but we'll cover it anyway. So obviously, Damage Control lost at Mania pretty convincingly. Next night on Raw, Damage Control came out minus Bayley, who wasn't mentioned on commentary. There was no, you wouldn't have thought Bayley even teamed with them the way that they treated her. They lost in the tag match. They were treated like enhancement talent. It was almost like a burial. Another reportedly moment here that Bayley was told right before the segment, you're not to go out with Damage Control. You're being cut from this segment completely. Again, one of those things of, well, Vince didn't like Io Sky and Dakota Kai. He fired them before. He doesn't like them. He wants them gone. Bailey's fine with blah, blah, blah. Bailey did tweet on the Sunday, and sometimes the most romantic love story comes to an end. Bye. Bailey apparently is contract's firm. She's not going anywhere. There isn't really much talk at SmackDown of Damage Control being split up. This just feels like, again, another report has been made out of nothing. Is there something in it? Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, I think, again, I think she will break away from them at some point. I think she'll get pissed off for losing all the time. And as their leader, she will kind of turn on them and become the heel, I guess. Yeah, they'll become faces. And that's going to happen. But again, it's something out of nothing, isn't it, really?
So we get to Friday night on SmackDown. Riddle came out to help Sami Zayn at the end of his match with Jay. It felt like that was when Ishii made his big return, not on Raw with The Miz, because at the end of the day, Riddle did get put out by Solo. So the story there really was for Riddle to come back in that match and make his big return. It seemed weird to have him return on the Raw.
Solo was the one that injured him in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. That was weird. Triple H was again on SmackDown. He announced the draft would be coming up soon.
Love a draft. Everyone is involved. Every single person.
I mean, it's all well and good, but every year they do this, and every year it gets scrapped after five months because they end up having... I mean, they were over shows it before Mania, and there was no mention of why they would do it, so I don't really see the point of a draft, to be honest.
No.
That has been a massive and mental and chaotic couple of weeks in WWE. There's new owners coming eventually when it all goes through. Brock Lesnar's a heel again. Cody's got to start from the bottom almost. We've got chaos backstage, if you believe certain people. It's another day in wrestling, I guess.
Couldn't be a big day or a good week for WWE though without CM Punk getting involved, could it? Up to his old tricks.
Yeah. So
pesky little so-and-so.
Before we get on to Punk, a couple of AEW notes, and we might start doing this in our shows going forward AEW announced the signing of former NXT announcer Nigel McGuinness, who was at the Ring of Honor pay-per-view taping.
Yes, Nigel. Nigel. You're so much better than Booker.
Yeah,
he's ruining NXT.
And then the following day, he got the All Elite graphic on AEW Twitter. Then, during Dynamite on this past Wednesday, huge announcement that TK had promised, as he likes to do. This one delivered, often. I felt.
Yes, it is. Yeah. This is a very big one.
Tickets go on sale for AEW's first show outside of North America. And I'm trying to tell you that as well. It's a huge, huge one. August 27th, Sunday night. Sunday night pay-per-views. I prefer Saturdays, but whatever.
I do now,
AEW All In at Wembley Stadium. Yes. That is brave. I'll give them that. Big balls on Cocaine Tony for this one.
90,000 seats.
90,000 seats.
Is
this the move they have to make as a make or break? Let's see where we are.
They're going to sell it out. And I say that because tickets are going to be about 20 quid come like the start of August when they've sold 60,000 seats and they're desperate to fill it out. Because you can't black out somewhere like Wembley because of the shape of it won't work. So we will be there because it's 90,000 seats and we will be there.
Yeah, it's not like Money in the Bank where we were priced out at the 20,001st person.
I'm not paying $5,000 to go and watch Money in the Bank and SmackDown.
Even if they throw in like a celebrity golf thing, you can play golf with Madcap Moss. I ain't paying it.
No, but I'll pay £50 to go and watch AEW at Wembley because, yeah, I'll be able to.
As soon as that show got announced, speculation became even more rife than it was before that CM Punk will be returning shortly. Because let's be honest, if you can promote CM Punk and FTR versus the Elite as the main event of your Wembley show, you're shifting tickets then.
Yeah.
Because CM Punk is still a major name internationally.
Yeah, for the amount he's gone off the rails in the last few years, he is still CM Punk.
Well, plus, think about this. So they can promote Chris Jericho back in the UK,
yep.
Sting in the UK for the first time since
probably TNA,
WWA, maybe TNA. Yeah. Bryan Danielson will be there.
Yep.
MJF.
Yep.
The Elite.
Yep.
FTR, Moxley. Who obviously looks like they've signed. Moxley, first time in the UK since the restart come to the end. Look at the names they could promote and then to throw in, oh, by the way, CM Punk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He'll be front and center of that poster, won't he?
So, CM Punk. A couple of weeks ago, CM Punk obviously was bored at home. Thought he'd open up his Instagram, typed up a story, done what we've all done, typed it up, slagged off a few people, deleted it quickly after, felt cute, might delete later. So he
said... Not quick enough, Punk. The internet
sees
everything.
You're never quick enough these days. So he's, for anyone that didn't see it, he said this, sigh, in caps, so you know it's important. I wasn't cleared to come back to wrestle yet. The plan was to wrestle at the pay-per-view. I sat and listened to Moxley's Rocky 3 idea. I explained how I'd never, ever seen a Rocky movie.
Bollocks.
Pause. How have you never seen a Rocky movie?
Absolute bollocks.
And it's Rocky 3. It's Rocky 3.
Yeah, the best one.
I thought the idea sucked, but if the boss wants to do it, whatever. He said he wouldn't lose to me. I'd never experienced someone refuse to lose to me. I just laughed. I asked Tony if this is what he wanted. He said yes. He's the boss, so I said okay, but I'd need to be cleared first. They kept saying it could just be a squash, so I didn't need to be cleared. I scoffed at that. My health is more important. Dave Meltzer is a liar. Pause.
Fair enough. Yep.
True.
Fine. Tick.
Jericho is a liar. Pause. True.
Yeah.
And a stooge. Pause. True. There were plans, but plans always change, but I'll never put a company above my health ever again. So, as a background for people that didn't understand what he was referring to.
Yeah.
Moxley's Rocky 3 idea would have seen Moxley beat Punk in a glorified squash, which he did on August 24th on Dynamite to win the championship.
Yep.
But Punk had the story that he was coming into the match with an injury that was exacerbated in that match.
Yep.
Punk had the claim that he wasn't cleared for that match, but as it was going to be a squash, Tony Khan said, you don't have to get cleared for it. It's just a squash.
Yeah.
Which, I'm sorry.
Wrestlers do it all the time.
You shouldn't be doing that, but fine. No. Whatever.
Yeah.
The Rocky 3 story would then continue where Punk would get his comeback, as Rocky always did, and he would beat Moxley to regain the belt All Out, which, of course, is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, after that, at his Cupcake Eaton press conference, he went mental. He went nuclear. And he basically went the rant against Adam Page in the Elite, and we haven't seen him on TV since.
No.
What do you make of this?
He's just a fucking idiot. I'm so disappointed because he was my favourite wrestler. I thought he was the coolest guy in wrestling. And he's just gone off the deep end, hasn't he? He's trending towards being more like Ryback than he wants to be. Like he's mental.
Do you agree with any of this he's saying about I should have been cleared, all this, I think the idea sucked? Do you think any of this he has got a case for? Or
the cleared thing, fine, yeah. You'd probably need to be cleared to wrestle. But if it's a squash, get Mox to hit you with a fucking chair and lie down. Like, that's all you need.
Yeah.
The fact that he says Mox refused to lose to him, no. Don't believe that for a second. Because that man, as much as I didn't like him in WWE, he is AEW. He will do whatever it takes to make that company look good. He's worked through holidays, injuries, everything that he should have had taken time off.
When he says that Mox refused to lose to him, does he mean if you want to go along with my Rocky 3 story, I have to beat you in the squash? So not so much that I refuse to lose, but if we're telling this story and TK's booked this story, I can't lose to you in the 3 minutes because that's not how the story has to go.
Well, yeah,
is that more is that not so much a refusal, more of Mox is trying to push this story on him.
Here's my idea. Rocky loses in Rocky 3 to start with because he's injured, and he comes back and wins it all at the end. Mox's idea is perfectly fine. I can't believe I'm siding with John Moxley in all of this. You know my feelings on Dean Ambrose. But yeah, he was spot on with this plan. It would have worked perfectly, and it did work perfectly until Punk went lunatic on Adam Page and Neil Lee. He's just mad.
Do you think Punk is coming back, given that they've announced the Wembley show?
Yeah, he won't. They'll offer him the headline spot, and he won't be able to pass it up because he's an egotist. He's a massive egotist, and he needs the attention. And to be the main event of a 90,000 AEW show, all in, whatever it's called, at Wembley, to be the first wrestling thing there since SummerSlam 92, he'll be all over that.
One more thing that we forgot to put on the agenda before we recorded, but as we're wrapping up, we'll end with this. Drew McIntyre, you referenced it earlier on. Mm. There's a lot of talk that he is unhappy with his status as both creatively and the money on offer because his contract's coming up.
Yeah.
Do you see in any legitimate universe where Drew McIntyre jumps to AEW?
No, I don't think so. I think they'll pay him whatever he wants because money's no object, really. Creatively, I get his point. He's been floundering since he lost the belt. He's kind of... He's got himself involved with the Sheamus staff, the tag teams, the Banger Bros, and getting involved with the IC title. He wants to be a main eventer. And
I feel bad for him because he carried the company during the worst time in their history with the pandemic stuff. He won the belt two times, no live crowd. And now he's found himself kind of pushed down because Roman is the champion. There's no second belt for him to win.
Yeah.
So I get why he's unhappy.
Mm.
The only thing I will say is Drew knows what it's like to leave and gamble on yourself. So he's absolutely not got that. He's like a lot of guys who have never left the WWE, where they've got that fear of, but what if I fail?
Yeah.
Drew can go, well, I did fail before. I got sacked. I had to start again. Whereas this time he's starting again as Drew McIntyre, established main event. Yeah. So he is in a great position where he has no fear. He has no money worries. He's a very, very rich man.
Yes.
He's got name value on both sides of the pond. He'll have AEW throwing millions to headline their UK show.
Blank checkbook.
His contract's up, so he'll have no 90 days to wait for.
Mm.
And he knows he can only go back to WWE in 3 years' time, and there's no burnt bridges because he hasn't kicked up a fuss really on the way out. So he's got that. He's got no fear of, would I fail outside of WWE's fishbowl? That's the only thing that makes me think,
There is a possibility. There's more of a possibility than him than kind of someone else. But I also think Triple H would see this and think, no, we're going to get you tied down and we'll give you, here's a long-term plan of where you're going to be, and you'll be back in that title picture eventually. And he will.
Eventually, Roman's got to drop the belt to Cody or to someone. Drops that belt, that's it.
There'll be two belts again.
Yeah, of course there will be.
Which creates more opportunities.
Or if there is one belt, Cody will need different opponents because you're not going to have a three-year reign again. Ever. Mm. In our lifetime, no one's held the belt for 3 years again. So you're going to need a lot of different people to hold that belt. Exactly. Drew, Cody, Gunter, Randy again, if he's ever fit enough to come back. A lot of people are going to need to be there to hold that belt. And Drew is well up there as one of those contenders.
Yeah, just got to bide your time. I understand his frustration with the creative, but the money on offer, I'm sure they can work that out.
Okay, that was a hell of a catch-up on stuff that happened the last couple of weeks. We've got a few plans of different shows. We've just also obviously had the idea of, let's look at the best tag teams of the modern era, because there's an argument to make for the Usos there, most definitely.
Yeah, WWE decided that it was the New Day, wasn't it? And I'm not on board with that.
I'm not. No, not at all. So yeah, there's that, and there's a whole bunch of other ideas that we're working on as well. But for now, that was WrestleMania, that was Endeavor, that was the UFC thing, that was AEW and all sorts of stuff. And yeah, May 5th, the tickets go on sale for All In. I think everyone's going to be able to be there because they'll be so cheap because it's 90,000 tickets to sell.
Yes, exactly.
If you have any thoughts, feelings, anything on Mania or the sale or anything else, you know how to get in contact with us. There's a multitude of ways to do so on Twitter, at Ring the Bell Pod, on Facebook and Instagram at Ring the Bell Show. I think it's Twitter, Instagram, Ring the Bell Pod, Ring the Bell Show on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Ross, what's the email address?
ringthebellpod@gmail.com.
Or you can leave us comments on our podcast pages. We're all over. Go on to our anchor page, all the links to all the different podcast providers that we're on. Or you can just Tweet us, reply to our tweets, anything. You know, we're always there, always contactable.
If you listen through Anchor, you can leave us a voice message, which we can play on the show as well.
You can, yes, you can do that. We're also looking into, at some point down the line, when we become more consistent and more deserving of a possible subscription, if you ever wish to, where we can start doing subscriber-only shows. So that's something that Anchor have now allowed us to have the option to do.
And we'll also announce our show at Wembley Stadium in the future.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, we're going to sell 90 tickets at £2 a pop. Yeah. And we'll sell out every one of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that has been our WrestleMania catch-up. Thank you for listening, as always. This has been Ring the Bell. I'm your host, Andrew.
And I'm Ross. Andrew.
Yes.
Ring that bell.